This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our reports with the Pope at the Wednesday midweek general audience and the other stories. That will be followed by Panorama and then our feature Health and Healing. We shall close with a segment on this coming holy year. I am John Baptist Tomosime. Pope Francis has called upon Catholics to dedicate time to prayer, especially when they proclaim the Word of God, because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, especially if they ask Him in order to proclaim the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Father made the call on Wednesday at the midweek general audience held in St. Peter's Square. This week's catechesis was a continuation of his teaching cycle on the Holy Spirit and the Bride, but with a focus on the role of preaching in the Church and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Pope advised preachers to stick to the points and to avoid long sermons. We have a report.
Pope Francis, addressing the faithful in St. Peter's Square, emphasized two key elements of Christian preaching.
Il suo contenuto, che è il Vangelo, e il suo mezzo, che è lo Spirito Santo.
Its content, the Gospel, and its means, the Holy Spirit. He explained that the word Gospel in the New Testament has two meanings: the good news proclaimed by Jesus during his life, and after Easter, the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. This, the Pope noted, forms a foundation of Christian preaching. As Peter wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes."
Io non mi vergogno del Vangelo, perché potenza di Dio.
Pope Francis highlighted that preaching must always begin with the proclamation of Christ's actions for humanity, avoiding the error of prioritizing law over grace. He stressed the importance of the kerygma, the proclamation of the gospel, as a basis for all moral teaching.
Sulla prima delle due cose, cioè sul kerygma, o proclamazione.
Turning to the means of preaching, the Pope said it must be delivered with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to convey both conviction and power. He advised preachers to limit their sermons to 10 minutes, focusing on one idea, one sentiment, and one action. Finally, the Pope urged preachers to rely on the Holy Spirit, not preach themselves, and prioritize community over personal initiatives. He prayed for the Church to effectively proclaim the Gospel to today's world. I'm Francesca Merlo.
After his catechesis, Pope Francis made appeals for prayer for peace in various countries around the world where fighting is taking place. We have another report.
Amid ongoing conflicts around the world, Pope Francis warned that war is evil and that it destroys. He specifically prayed for martyred Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, and Myanmar. He lamented how in each of these countries there are many innocent people dead. Pope Francis renewed his call for peace, encouraging everyone to pray always. "Let us pray," the Pope said, "so that the Lord may bring us to peace." 3 years after a coup overthrew the elected government, Myanmar was thrown into conflict, which continues to rage. The UN Human Rights Council has called for a course correction from the international community as the civilian death toll rises. There are now 6,000 reminders that the international community is failing the people of Myanmar, according to experts appointed by the council. The Human Rights Council experts stressed the importance of the impact of the international community. The experts stated they have documented that international intervention has in the past reduced the junta's access to weapons that it uses to attack civilians. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Before the midweek general audience, Pope Francis received an audience, a delegation of the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth. The congregation is celebrating this year the 150th anniversary of its foundation. Devin Watkins has the details.
Jubilees are a precious time for taking stock of our lives, both as individuals and as communities. Pope Francis offered that invitation on Wednesday as he met with the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to celebrate the 150th anniversary of their foundation. He prayed that this milestone in the congregation's life may spur them to be spiritually renewed so that they might better serve the Lord and His people. The Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth were founded in 1875 and serve in 140 communities in 14 countries, according to their website. The Pope noted that the congregation's 150th anniversary celebrations begin with Advent, calling the liturgical season a time of patient and hope-filled expectancy in the Lord's promises. "I pray," he said, "that your celebrations will help the members of your congregation to grow in contemplative trust in the incarnate Son of God, especially in the Blessed Sacrament and in the people you serve." Pope Francis added that all jubilees are opportunities for reflection, recollection, and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Through hearts open to the Lord and to a genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, he prayed, "May your communities always be thresholds through which those families that are the focus of your charism can find refuge, hope, and peace in Christ." The Pope went on to recall the many contemporary families who are ravaged by war or forced to flee their homes or even homelands. He urged the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to always perform spiritual and corporal works of mercy. "May your prayer and practical works of charity always reflect the love of Jesus," concluded Pope Francis, "so that you may be signs of hope to those experiencing hardships of any kind." I'm Devin Watkins.
Reports from Ethiopia say Somali Al-Shabaab Islamic militants linked to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network have been secretly penetrating the Beli Mountains from where they want to establish an active combat presence. The Ethiopian army reported recently that it had arrested dozens of Al-Shabaab insurgents after dismantling their bases and intercepting their arms. The insurgents have their main bases in Somalia, from where they target civilians, security officers, and telecommunication infrastructure within the country and in neighboring Kenya. Their main objective is to establish a government operating on strict Islamic law. Their infiltration into Ethiopia is reported to be taking advantage of the current military weakness of the Ethiopian army, which is engaged in fierce fighting with the Ethiopian rebel groups in the Amhara and Oromia regions. Al-Shabaab militants are known for carrying out suicide attacks in crowded places in Somalia, and this is raising concern among Ethiopian civilians who fear they could be targets. The militants have started an online propaganda campaign against Ethiopia, projecting it as a historical rival working against Somali interests and as a Christian eternal enemy who should be destroyed. The chairman of the National Commission for the Liturgy of Angola and São Tomé and Príncipe Catholic Bishops Conference, Archbishop Luzizila Kiara, who doubles also as the ordinary of Maranje Archdiocese, has called upon pastoral agents in the Archdiocese of Uwambo to give priority to the proper formation of altar servers, with the emphasis on ensuring respectful and orderly liturgical celebrations. He made the call on Tuesday in his address to the Third Archdiocesan Pastoral Assembly in Uwambo. He explained that altar servers play an essential role in the life of the Church, particularly during Eucharistic celebrations, and their preparation must be approached with the seriousness it demands. He expressed concern about the inadequate training of altar servers in many parishes where they are left to improvise during liturgical celebrations and in the process undermining the quality and the solemnity of the service. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Namibians have elected the first female president after last week's disputed election. Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa is from the governing Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO. The Electoral Commission said President-elect Nandi Ndaitwa won more than 57% of the vote. Her closest rival, Pandulan Itula, got 26%. Itula said the electoral process was deeply flawed, and his independent Patriots for Change party said it would challenge the results in court. SWAPO led the struggle for nationhood against apartheid South Africa and has been in power since 1990. Ahead of last Wednesday's general election, there had been some speculation that it would suffer the fate of other liberation parties in the region. South Africa's African National Congress lost its outright parliamentary majority in May, and the Botswana Democratic Party was kicked out of power after nearly six decades following October's election. Once sworn in, the new president will join an exclusive club of female presidents. At the moment, Tanzania's Samia Suluhu Hassan is Africa's only female president. Human rights groups in Guinea said they believe more than 135 football fans were killed in a crash at a stadium on Sunday, most of them children. The unverified figure far exceeds the official number of deaths that is put at 56. The rights groups said the estimate was based on information from hospitals, cemeteries, families of victims, and a number of other sources. The group said that more than 50 other people are still missing. The deadly incident followed a controversial refereeing decision during the march, which led to violence to which police responded with tear gas as people tried to flee. Guinea is among several African countries that are currently banned from hosting international football matches for not meeting international standards. Nigeria's anti-graft agency, the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, has said it has made its biggest ever seizure of assets alleged to have been purchased with proceeds of corruption. At stake is a large housing estate comprising of more than 750 properties in the capital, Abuja. The agency did not reveal exactly who had owned the land, covering some 150,000 square meters and luxurious homes, but its statement said they belonged to a former high-ranking member of government. Analysts say that corruption remains one of the biggest problems in Nigeria, despite successive governments promising to stop it. United States President Joe Biden arrived in the Angolan port city of Lobito on Wednesday. This was the last day of a trip to Africa to tout a plan to extend a railway that could channel critical minerals from Congo to the West. Biden pledged lasting United States engagement with Africa on Africa's own terms as he met with his Angolan counterpart, João Lourenço, in Luanda on Tuesday on his first and only visit to Africa as president. The trip delivers on a promise to visit the continent but comes on weeks before his presidency ends. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. Many sub-Saharan African countries are grappling with the challenge of fake or bogus health practitioners. These practitioners exist in several categories. Some pose as general physicians, others claim to be specialized medical doctors who carry out delicate operations, while others claim to be medical assistants. Others pose as nurses and midwives of various qualifications. Some manage to beat and infiltrate the health systems in their countries and register with the state medical councils, using forged or stolen documents from real trained health workers, and even get employed by the state, while others bribe state officials who issue them licenses to establish health facilities such as clinics and operate as private health practitioners. Many operate secretly without licenses. Reports from various African countries indicate that majority of these bogus health practitioners don't have any training at all in the medical field. Some have followed some courses in health care, but did not finish and therefore do not qualify to practice. and others have been junior officers in big health facilities such as hospitals, carefully watching how qualified doctors and nurses perform certain tasks. In the process, they come to learn a few simple things and begin to operate secretly in villages and slums, posing as qualified health practitioners. Many advertise themselves and give health advice to patients or sell fake health products, especially medicine, using social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Messenger, X, the former Twitter, Telegram, WhatsApp, and LinkedIn. There have been situations in some countries where fake doctors and nurses have gone to hospitals, posing as real health workers and engaging with the patients. Some are reported to have prescribed medicine for patients and asked payment in cash for the service. Fake health practitioners endanger the health of patients in many ways. Because they operate without the necessary qualifications, registration, and ethical standards, they cause harm by making wrong diagnosis, by prescribing inappropriate treatments, and by using unregulated procedures. These actions lead to physical harm and emotional and financial distress for the patients and their families. Most of the victims have either died or have had to live with irreversible damage on their health. In the process, many people begin to lose trust in the healthcare system and become reluctant to seek medical care even when they genuinely need it due to fear of encountering practitioners who may endanger their health or even kill them. African governments are not just watching the situation helplessly. They are tracking, arresting, and imprisoning many of these fake health practitioners. Many governments are also tightening their health systems to weed out those criminals. Last year, South Africa arrested and imprisoned 124 fake health practitioners. Nigeria, Malawi, Kenya, Zambia, and Zimbabwe together arrested hundreds and jailed them. In October this year, the East African nation of Uganda arrested a fake medical doctor who was operating under false names. He had managed to obtain a license to establish a health facility from which he was administering treatment and carrying out operations on non-suspecting patients. Dr. Warren Namara is the head of State House Health Monitoring Unit in Uganda, which is responsible for scrutinizing and working out solutions to problems in the country's health sector. This is what he told reporters in Kampala after the arrest of that fake doctor.
He is not a doctor. He should not be glorified by giving him the title doctor. Call him a criminal, a quack, a butcher. This quack criminal who passes by butchering people, by misrepresenting the medical profession. A conceited, colorless criminal. This guy was born in Yombi. That was his name. At some stage, he turned into Sandy. At another stage, he became Terietu, and he ended up as Semanda. All these documentations are there. These are facts. He has managed to steal every conceivable identity. He has managed to hoodwink universities, including the University of Zambia. I wrote to the University of Zambia. They confirm that there is no such a person like that. Where did he get the certificate he has? He's registered in the University of Columbia. Nobody knows how far he went in school. He's not acting alone. He's got somebody who is supposed to be like his wife or something like that. We are actually requesting her to come. She's called Brenda. We are asking her to come and talk to us. She's called Brenda. And at one time, there is a Dr. Brenda who made a recommendation for this quack, Semanda. Who is this Dr. Brenda? There is no Brenda something in the system that we know. Semanda is not alone. We picked a person in Palisa, right in the village who was killing people. We picked another one in Kasese, up in the mountains.
Dr. Warren Namara, the head of State House Health Monitoring Unit in Uganda, speaking there last month to reporters in Kampala. The emergency of fake health practitioners is attributed to a scarcity of trained health professionals in some African countries. Lack of employment, which forces some cunning individuals to resort to easy and unlawful ways of getting money, and weak health systems that are easy to break into. Dr. Namara advised the public to be on alert about false health practitioners who operate secretly in their areas and report them to the authorities, and to seek care from reputable registered health care professionals. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello. Welcome to yet another segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly journey with you towards the upcoming Great Jubilee Year of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and as you already know, it has always been an exciting moment for me journeying with you on this program. Once again today, we have with us on our studio our special guest and a liturgist, Sister Maureen Daniela Anyanwu, a sister of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of Christ, who had spoken to us last week on the liturgy and the Jubilee, as she has more to tell us on this particular topic. Welcome, dear Sister Daniela, to our studio on another segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we present more questions to you on the Jubilee and the liturgy. During the Jubilee year, there will be the Jubilee for the sick, Jubilee for families, for youths, and so on. Whenever we pray for particular groups, such as families, the sick, the youths, what are some of the do's and don'ts of the liturgy? What parts of the Mass can we modify, and which parts are untouchable?
Whenever we have such masses, there are regulations from the general instruction of the Roman Missal from number 362, and then in number 372 there are prohibitions. That is in general about masses for various needs and masses for various groups and occasions. But in this case of the Jubilee celebration, I think it's the responsibility of the congregation for evangelization to prepare for this celebration. I believe they are going to bring out the proper for such masses, and then the do's and don'ts. The only do's and don'ts I would think of, you don't change the institution narrative.
Talking about liturgy and bringing it home to Africa, liturgical celebrations are associated with liturgical dances. It is the African personal way of expressing joy. From your own understanding of the African context, what role should dance play in liturgical celebrations? And is it something we should adopt also during this Jubilee celebration?
I like the statement, from my own understanding of the African context, yeah. Because dance means different things for different people. So, from the African context, dance is a movement of the body, depending on the genre of music it is flowing with. So, within the liturgy, do we actually dance? Well, we can call it dance in the African context, the movement of the body to the rhythm of the music, which is, of course, not profane. I could remember that our father, Cardinal Arinze, once gave a beautiful response to this issue of dance when he gave a distinction between the Western understanding of dance and our own understanding of dance. So, yeah, we can adopt that. Ritual dances were approved for the offertory, the prayer of the faithful, or the thanksgiving after communion. These are the things that the Holy Father approved for certain cultural area, which also can go down to every other African context.
Thank you so much, sister, for the time you spent with us in the studio, and we anticipate another segment with you. This brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, and I hope to meet you all again at this same station next week. I remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.